Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, everybody. Patrick Connelly, glad to be with you again. How is your Lent going? How's it going? Are you hitting that point yet where it's becoming more like drudgery? It feels like it's more in your own will rather than in the provision of God and His grace that you are carrying out your Lenten disciplines. Now, that's not to say that you shouldn't hurt a little bit, according to the disciplines, right? A little bit of detachment is meant to bring about a feeling of, yeah, this is a sacrifice. It's meant to be a sacrifice for a reason. Plus, you just had, if you follow the general calendar, of course, you just had the Solemnity of St. Joseph on March the 19th, and you've got another one coming up here in just a couple days. We're actually going to be talking about that today, the Solemnity of the Annunciation. So you've got a little bit of respite there from your Lenten disciplines, and you rejoice when the Church tells us to rejoice. We fast when the Church tells us to fast, right? So what about that? What about that? It's always a temptation in my own observance of Lent that, I lean too much on my own will. And then what that tends to bring up within me is this feeling like, yeah, I can do it. I can do it. Well, maybe, and I've heard this even from lips that are at the Episcopal rank of the Church. I won't reveal anybody particularly, but I've heard that, you know, sometimes it's not bad to pick a discipline that you're going to fail at, to recognize that you need the grace of God. Now, I'm not saying fail in terms of sin, but to say that, you know, I'm just not able to carry this out on my own, because we are not able to live this life as it's meant to be lived on our own. We are given free will, but we are to surrender that will to the will of God. And in so much, we actually discover the true freedom of our own will. Yeah, and to wax a little bit on a similar theme as to what we started the show with last week. So we do have a fantastic show lined up for us today. I am pleased to have Jim Ennis, the Executive Director of Catholic Rural Life, back in the studio with us. He'll be with us right after our first break to talk about what's going on in the rural settings, especially as we have just passed spring, the beginning of spring. Believe it or not, we are there. We made it. Hooray. We are now in the season of spring. And he's going to be with us to talk about what that means for our brothers and sisters who live in rural contexts, in rural communities. After that, we're going to be with Father Brian Park, who's the pastor of Annunciation in South Minneapolis, to talk about that solemnity, to talk about the solemnity of the Annunciation. What does it mean for us, and why should we observe it, and what difference does it make in our lives of faith? Why do we observe it as faithful Catholics? And then a little bit later on in the program, we've got both Mary May from Relevant Radio here locally, as well as Mary Jo Feltel, who's going to talk about the Christ Brings Hope benefit banquet coming up for Relevant Radio later on in April, which I would already highly encourage all of you to attend. It's a great night of recognizing and honoring some of our local faithful, as well as the ministry of Relevant Radio. So good things coming up on the show, and glad to be with you again. I hope that your Lent is going well. One possible suggestion at this point, if it's starting to feel like drudgery, or if it's starting to feel too much like it is drawing, making you more uncharitable rather than charitable toward the Lord and towards others, you know what? Maybe it's time to change it up. Maybe it's time to take on something else. Maybe it's time to give up something different. While I think consistency in our spiritual life is important, and there are times that we need to do things even when we don't feel like doing them. We need to go to Mass even when we don't feel like going to Mass. Obviously, we need to go to reconciliation when we don't feel, maybe especially when we don't feel like going to reconciliation. But there are things in our own personal disciplines that, there are so many different ways of engaging with the faith and with the lives of the saints, with the prayers that we have been given, with the liturgical calendar. There's lots of options out there. So Yeah, have a look on the web, go to a local Catholic bookstore, take a look around your parish and the resources that are available there, see what's going on, and see if there's anything that God kind of tugs at your heart and says, why don't you give this a try? I think that's a good thing as we are into Lent, but there's still a bit of a road ahead of us here before we get to the Triduum and the holy season of Easter as well. All right, so as we head into the program today, let's as always pause at the top of the show. Commit the show to our Lord and through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as together we pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, when we come back from our first break, Jim Ennis, Executive Director of Catholic Rural Life, is with us to talk about spring in the rural setting. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Everyone has a special place for their safe money, like the local bank, or maybe even the proverbial cookie jar, a place that's secure from losing value. At Catholic United Financial, we know a thing or two about keeping your savings safe and secure. We also know as you get closer to retirement, the last thing you want to do is lose money. If that's you and you're worried about falling markets, then consider protecting your hard-earned money with a guaranteed return no matter what the markets do. Our Bonus Plus annuity has a 3% return the first year and a guaranteed minimum return in the future with no annual sales or maintenance fees. Your money grows free of market risk and fee-free. So place your safe money with a company that honors your faith. Start an account or roll over an IRA. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley with you again, and we are sitting down now with the Executive Director of Catholic Rural Life, Jim Ennis, who has been on the program before. Jim, it's always good to have you on the program. Welcome back.
It's great to be back, Patrick. Thank you.
Yeah, well, as we are into spring, we made it, and you know, actually, my wife and I moved to a rural context now, and we've already discovered through the rather lengthy winter that it's different in the rural setting. So I thought it'd be good to have you on to talk to us about maybe some of the things that are going on in the lives of those in rural settings. Yeah.
So. Well, you know, I get the privilege of going out to rural communities all over the country. Mm. And I just got back from California and was out there for a week in the San Joaquin Valley visiting with farmers. And obviously, the weather there is a lot, they're much farther along in their spring.
Yes, of course.
But you know, across the country, rural is so important, and farmers are, in some places, having some real challenges. They've had low commodity prices for about the last 4 or 5 years. So farming is really struggling. They're, especially here in the Midwest, dairy farmers, especially in Wisconsin and Minnesota, upstate New York, there's just a lot of challenges for those farmers who are trying to, you know, raise their crops, raise their livestock, provide milk for us, but and to be able to sustain a living. So there's been some real challenges across the United States in agriculture this year.
And I know that there's environmental challenges that are always at least being watched, how wet it is. I remember last year, as if I remember correctly, the spring was very wet. It was hard for the farmers to get into the fields very early, which can push the crops back, push harvest time up against the first frost, and then you're looking at problems that way too. So there's a real connection, a strong connection to, obviously, to creation when you're reliant upon it for your livelihood, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, again, spring brings hope.
Yeah.
And farmers especially are just chomping at the bit to get out into their land and to be able to plant their seeds. And So there's just a real sense of urgent of hope and excitement as spring comes, and now the farmers are able to get out into their fields eventually. You know, this year we had a lot of snow, and so that's going to take a little more time, but the moisture is great. And I know all over the country we've had some really good rains that's helping agriculture. But it definitely does, the farmer depends upon the weather, and so their faith in God grows, and they look forward to the spring and being able to see that those seeds planted and growing.
I'm glad you made that connection, because that's where I was hoping to go next, was that hopefully through this connection with creation, there's also a connection with the Creator, that there's a lot of faith that's in play here, and there's something about being that connected to nature, to creation, that draws us into close relationship with the Lord. Yeah,
yeah. In my conversations with many farmers, so many of them are men and women of deep faith because of their dependence, and it sometimes is tested for sure when things aren't going as well, and so many of them look to the church for support, and but they're on the front lines, and they're able to see creation at work. That miracle of a birth of a calf, or those seeds turning into plants and seeing them grow. Many of these things are so beautiful mysteries, but they reveal the beauty of God. And so I've met so many men and women in rural communities, in the farming communities, who are strong, deep men and women of faith.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've had a lot of experience. You live here in the Twin Cities, but you've had a lot of experience, as you've said, traveling and meeting and talking about life and faith in all these rural settings. What do you think? What are some of the top things that faithful folks in rural settings can contribute to, or help those of us in urban settings understand in terms of our faith?
Well, their faith is very grounded, rooted in the land.
That seems
and
to
it's,
make right.
It's very
right, yeah.
It's very practical.
Yeah.
I mean, so you know, just trusting God for a crop, praying for good weather, for the rains, timeliness of rains throughout the summer. They can just treat us a bit just to pray and to depend upon God for our daily bread. It's it's very literal. It's a very much they're dependent throughout the year upon God and upon the elements. So I think one of the things I've learned from relationship with these farmers is that their desire to be very practical in their faith and to pray. Many of them pray the rosary in the morning, they and their spouse, and then they get out and do their daily chores, and and then they come back in the evening and they do their evening prayer. It's a very much a ritual and a habit of forming. And it's a great example and a witness, but they're often, not necessarily promoting their faith. They're just doing it on a daily basis. And so when you talk to them and you follow them around their day, it really is inspiring.
Yeah. What would you say are some of the modern day obstacles that exist between understanding what goes on in the rural life and those who live in urban populations? What are some of the struggles there that probably need to be overcome for us to have a better, fuller picture of life and faith?
Well, I think first of all, we really need to understand that rural matters, that we need farmers, that there is a vocation for agricultural leaders that we've written about and had a project, and I've been speaking about it across the country, of retrieving that sense of vocation. Agriculture is out of sight and out of mind, and so we often forget about our farmers and the importance of having farmers on the land, raising crops, raising livestock, providing milk for our tables. The second thing I think is really important is that farmers need our support too. And so how do we support our local farmers, like
right.
farmers markets,
sure.
or going out to a CSA, being a part of a community support agriculture? That's a way we can provide and support our local farmers. You know, there is a trend that's happening in agriculture, the industrialization of agriculture. And so a lot of the family farms are being pressured to either to grow big or to go out of business. And how do we support them? How do we encourage more young men and women and inspire them to become farmers, to be a part of the next generation? And that's really important, because the average age of farmers is about 59 years old now.
Was that right?
So we need 59. We need the new generation of men and women who want to be farmers, who see it as a noble vocation.
Wow. Yeah, that okay, so I'm still stewing on that a little bit. 59 years old is the average age of a farmer these days.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, so in the midst of all this, where does Catholic Rural Life come in? What is Catholic Rural Life all about?
Well, Catholic Rural Life is a 95-year-old organization. We were founded by a priest who was a farmer, and he was ordained. And then in 1923, he founded this organization to create a network for evangelization in rural communities.
Nice.
To connect with pastors all over the country. Today, we have the same mission as we did in 1923, to apply the teachings of Jesus Christ for the betterment of rural America. So this organization, we work with over 96 dioceses across the country that have rural in their oversight. We have a program called Thriving in Rural Ministry, and how to help pastors who are covering multiple parishes. Many, many pastors across the country now have 3, 4, 5 churches in their oversight. The Diocese of Crookston, for instance, over 90% of those priests have multiple parishes that they're responsible for. And there's just a lot of ministry to be done to help those priests who are covering those multiple parishes. So we're doing retreats around the country where we bring our exemplary models of rural ministry and share that with other priests to encourage them, to help them, strengthen them in their rural ministry. Again, what we're seeing is across the country is that there's a need to inspire the next generation in rural in their Catholic faith. And so we're trying to retrieve that Catholic culture in rural America.
If I can go back to you're bringing that exemplar model into and sharing that with a number of rural priests. And can you give us just a little insight as to what that model contains? I mean, what are you encouraging these priests to do in order to adjust to life with multiple parishes in a very rural context?
Well, we have relationships with many priests who I would call rock stars.
Okay.
Who are cracking the code in how to reach rural youth, who are working with a variety of ethnic groups. And what's happening in many rural parishes is people aren't coming to church. Mm-hmm. So we have a priest, for instance, in the Diocese of St. Cloud. He takes Mass out on the road to farms, and he invites all those in the community to have a Mass on like a Tuesday evening during the summer.
Sure.
And it brings men and women from around that community to come to Mass who maybe have not stepped into a church in years, but they'll come to a farm and celebrate the Eucharist, celebrate Mass there.
Okay.
So what we see is there are some really innovative priests who are doing work to reach these those on the margins, those on the periphery, if you will, and they can share those best practices with other priests who may be, you know, covering 3 or 4 parishes, a little weary, tired, they don't have the fresh ideas. But then they get together and they have fellowship. They have a 2 to 3 day retreat, and they learn from each other what's working, how to crack those codes of reaching the next generation for Christ.
Right, and I like that it's about that evangelization too. It's about bringing the message of Christ to the people who are there. So it's not necessarily just about the people who are already in the pews, but it's about actually continuing to share the gospel message so that people have an opportunity to respond to Christ as well. What can, as far as the people in the pews go, the faithful people who are faithful, they're living out a life of discipleship, they're in the pews, how can they support a priest who is facing this kind of a situation? What can they do to help him understand and live out the vocation that he's called to with multiple parishes?
Well, there are several things. One is just to say a word of encouragement to their priests if they happen to be in a rural area and their priest is covering multiple parishes. Two is to pray for them and to continue to realize that these priests are stretched pretty thin. Third is to invite them over for dinner, to have them over as a part of the family. What we see is priests often feel isolated in rural communities, and what they really do need is support from lay families and lay men and women to support them and invite them into their home to encourage them and to build them up and to express their appreciation for their ministry.
Mm. Well, excellent suggestions all. What about on the other side of things? Many of our listeners, I'm sure some of them, I hope, are outside in kind of the far reaches of the archdiocese, but many of them are probably in the urban setting. How might you encourage the local urban family To better support their brothers and sisters who are in rural settings?
Well, Catholic Rural Life is a membership-based organization, so we have members in 46 states across the country. So we encourage Catholics to join our organization to help us to reach those rural pastors who are covering multiple parishes. So we have 40% of our membership are urban folks, men
40%.
And women.
Wow.
40%,
okay.
And 60% are rural, and many of them are pastors. So we encourage Catholics who, many of them are rural at heart, or they also are concerned about the environmental concerns in rural communities, that they can become a member of Catholic Rural Life and hear about what's happening all over the country and in their local communities and how to support rural pastors and the rural ministry going on across the country.
Okay, well, I'll put on a little fake voice here because my wife and I are already members of Catholic Rural Life, but Jim, how does one become a member of Catholic Rural Life?
Well, the easiest way is to go on our website at catholicrurallife.org, and you'll see right on the front page is a place where you can sign up to become a member. Again, we don't turn away anyone. So if whatever you can support, however you can support our organization, you can become a member. We have a $50 membership recommendation for a donation, but if you can't make it, we encourage everyone to join our organization or as an urban parish can become a member as a parish member and to support our organization. And then they can then have a sister parish out in a rural community.
That's a great idea. I love that. Yeah.
We strongly encourage both institutions, individuals, and parishes to become a part of the Catholic Rural Life and to help join this network of how to support and to re-evangelize rural communities.
Okay. One final question before we let you go. Is there any way we can pray for you, especially during Lent, especially in spring, but specifically for the ministry and the work of Catholic Rural Life?
Absolutely. You know, we're a nonprofit, so you know, we seek to do the Lord's will in applying the church's teachings to rural communities. So we need wisdom. Leadership needs wisdom. Our board of directors, which is a national board of directors, need wisdom to guide us into the future, especially as we seek to navigate between different priorities. What should we focus on? So I would appreciate prayers from your listeners for our leadership of our organization and our board of directors to help just listen to the Holy Spirit and to guide and to do that. And St. Isidore is the patron saint of farmers.
Yeah.
So we can ask St. Isidore, too, to intercede on our behalf to help us be effective for the next 100. You know, we're a 95-year-old organization. We'd like to be here for another 95 years serving the church in rural America. So we really depend upon the prayers of your listeners and others around the country.
Wonderful. Jim Ennis, Executive Director of Catholic Rural Life. It's been great having you on the program again. Thank you and God bless you.
Thank you very much, Patrick. It's been a pleasure.
Very good. All right. And just I want to just capitalize on that opportunity to say that, you know, my wife and I actually, before we moved to the rural setting, my wife is rural at heart, I think is the way that Jim put it. She definitely is that. And so when I discovered Catholic Rural Life, I thought this is an excellent way of getting involved and maintaining some connection to the rural environment that employs our Catholic faith that goes right along with the message of our Catholic faith. So check it out, Catholic Rural Life, and become a member, support, and because there's lots of challenges that face priests, both rural and urban, as I think our next guest will be able to talk about a little bit, although he's here to talk about the Solemnity of the Annunciation. Father Brian Park is the pastor of Annunciation in South Minneapolis, has been so since 2015. He's also the chaplain for our beloved NET Ministries right here in West St. Paul. So, Father, great to have you with us.
Thank you, Patrick. Great to be here.
Yeah, all right. Well, now, I know we were talking before the show that you have a ton of ideas about what to talk about with the Annunciation. Why don't you just launch in? What's on your heart? What will you want to tell us about the Annunciation?
Well, it's one of the greatest solemnities of the church year, and it's a day that should be celebrated. It is celebrated. As you mentioned earlier, it's one of the two solemnities we often get in the Lenten season with St. Joseph that we just celebrated a few days ago, and then the Annunciation. And one of the things that really stands out to me about the Annunciation is it's one of the birthdays of the church.
Hmm.
I think sometimes when we think about the church's birthday, we immediately think about Pentecost,
right.
And rightly so, right? The day when the Holy Spirit came down upon the apostles and the early Christians, and they were driven out to proclaim the gospel. But there's other moments in the scriptures we can see a birth of the church, so to speak. So obviously Pentecost, but there's also the cross, right? We think about Jesus on the cross where when his side was pierced and blood and water comes out. And there's the great line from the church fathers that from the pierced side of Christ, the church was born. Mm. That that's the overflowing of the sacraments, especially baptism and the Eucharist.
Yeah, I love it.
We also think about the Last Supper as a birthday of the church, right? When the institution of the Eucharist, the gift of the body of Christ. But really, from a timeline perspective, the first, I would say, birth of the church was the Annunciation. Mm. Because this is when the human nature of Jesus, the body of Christ, came into being, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's that first birthday of the church when the body of Christ came into this world, and it's one of the great reasons why it should be celebrated.
Is it? It must be, just based on your explanation right there, it must be really the most profound way that the eternal first intersected with the temporal, that there's something that's going on there. I mean, that's incarnation, right? And that's...
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the solemnity of the incarnation, really.
Right. Yeah. And this moment, and it's interesting too, liturgically, there are two times in the church year when we pray, we always pray the creed on solemnities and Sundays. There's two solemnities in which the church invites us in her liturgy to kneel at the moment in the creed when we speak about the incarnation.
Right.
One is at Christmas time, another, of course, birthday of the church, the birthday of Jesus, but also at the Annunciation. The church invites us, when we're normally supposed to do a bow, the church invites us at the Annunciation, like Christmas, to get down on our knees, to acknowledge this is the day that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that truth that God has broken into our world, that the rescue mission has begun. Mm. That God who has come to save us has begun. And so on that day, on March 25th, we, just like on Christmas, when we pray the creed, we get down on our knees in thanksgiving that our Savior has come to redeem us.
So I can know that in my head, but what difference does it make to my heart, to the way that I live out my faith? Why do we celebrate the solemnity of the Annunciation?
Yeah, I think a lot of reasons. One in particular is because the example of Mary, right? Mary is the greatest Christian disciple. She is the great model of what it means to follow Christ. And we see that so clearly at the Annunciation, this model of someone who hears the word of God, right? The angel Gabriel comes to her and speaks God's word, and she responds with faith. She believes it, and then she receives it. She allows God to come into her. We see too at the Annunciation this great truth that what all the prophets spoke about, right? The great analogy in the Old Testament for God's relationship with his people is that of marriage, right? There's a lot of analogies the scriptures use to talk about God's relationship with his people. You know, he is the shepherd, we're the sheep. He's the potter, we're the clay. But one of the primary ones in the scriptures is that of marriage, right? That in this mystical way, God actually desires to marry me. He uses the analogy of marriage to express this great truth that he wants to give himself to us. Mm. And we see what's happening at the Annunciation. It's this divine proposal that God is coming to the Blessed Virgin Mary and offering her the gift of his love in this profound way. And Mary says yes to that, thus making her the great model of what it means to be a disciple, of one who opens her heart to the word of God and says yes and allows God to come into her. And for Mary in this, not only for us, it's just a spiritual mystery, by God's grace coming into her life, but for Mary, not only spiritual, but actually physically, that she conceives divine life inside her, which is what God wants to do in all of our hearts. He wants to conceive his life in us by grace. And so why is it so important? Because it shows Mary as the great model of what being a disciple is all about.
Yeah, and you mentioned it's physical. It's also obviously historical. It's geographical. We were talking before the show. You've been to the Basilica of the Annunciation in Nazareth, yeah?
Absolutely. I was just there a few months ago when your Mary Jo Fettel is coming on in a few moments. She was with our group. We were there in early January. And one of my favorite parts about the Basilica of the Annunciation in Nazareth, for those of you who've been there, you would know this. Down in the crypt, there's the remains of an old Byzantine church from, I think, the 4th century. And in the ancient remains, there's an altar that you can come up to. There's a gate in front of it. And right on the altar, there's a famous Latin inscription. And it's Latin inscription that I'd seen many times before. It's the Latin inscription, verbum caro factum est, right? And the word was made flesh. But this was the first time when I was at the Basilica in Nazareth, the first time I saw another Latin word kind of squeezed in the middle of that famous Latin phrase. And that was the word hic, H-I-C, which is the Latin word for here. And so it read, Verbum caro hic factum est, which means here the word was made flesh. And again, that gets to that spiritual truth that God has broken into our world. You know, one of the things when I talk to people oftentimes when they're struggling with suffering and evil and challenges like we all do, it's always good to remind ourselves that we have a God who's not absent from us. That it's not like God said, created the world, set everything up, and then we sinned and, you know, messed everything up, and he just said, well, you guys deal with it. No, he said, I love you so much, I'm going to come down into the mud, into the mess of your sin. I'm going to come here with you to be with you in your suffering and to take it on myself so that I can redeem it. And so, again, that message is so clear at the Annunciation, that God is here. He's come to save us. This is his name, Emmanuel. God is with us. And again, another great reason to celebrate this great Feast of the Annunciation.
Okay. So it's coming up. It's obviously a time when we are to set aside our Lenten disciplines in order to celebrate this great solemnity. But yet I want to set you up right, Father. You were telling me, again, before the show, if you were Pope.
Yeah, right. Oh, I have a long line of if I'm Pope one day, which which will never happen because I don't speak Italian. But if I were Pope, one of my top first few orders of business would be to make the Annunciation a holy day of obligation.
I'm right there with you. All right.
I mean, it's so essential for all these reasons we've been talking about. It's a celebration of the birthday of the church. It's a celebration of Mary's yes, of her being this perfect model of a disciple who opens her heart to the word of God, who conceives divine life inside of her. She's just the great model. And so we want to celebrate that. It's the beginning. It's when the rescue mission began, mm-hmm. when Jesus came into the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, when he was conceived in her womb. And so it's the rescue mission has begun. Let's celebrate it. Let's make sure every Catholic gets to that Mass every single year.
Right. Well, although I was strongly pro-life before I became Catholic, one of the phrases that I hadn't heard before, just in my evangelical time, was, from conception to natural death. And we hear it pretty frequently here in the Catholic Church. So, and it just continued to resonate within me, from conception. And much more than just a political, whatever it would be, a political mantra or something to generate some sort of fighting spirit amongst the other people who are pro-life, that sort of thing. The church is stating a truth there about what we are as human beings. And therefore, the Annunciation is rightly, as we've talked about, the solemnity of the Incarnation. And if we really believe what we believe about what conception is, then I'm right there with you. It should be a holy day of obligation.
Right. It's also a great feast day of the pro-life movement.
Exactly.
As well too,
right.
That,
yeah.
Again, that we believe that Jesus's life, his human nature, right, the person of Jesus Christ in this union of divine and human nature began at the Annunciation when he was conceived in his mother's womb.
Okay. Wow. All right. Well, I'm with you there. Any other things, if you're a Pope, you want to share with us?
We'll get to that some other time.
Okay. All right. Anything other things about the Annunciation that you care to share?
Yeah. I think one other thing that stands out to me too is, again, we get back to the witness of Mary, and Mary teaches us so many things at the Annunciation. As a side note, it's interesting that when you look at Christian artwork and history, we think about what are some of the most painted or sculpted or scenes in all of Christian artwork from the Bible. Obviously the cross is probably one of them, the crucifixion. The resurrection is obviously a popular scene in artwork, but boy, I would say at least in the top five, maybe even the top three, is the Annunciation. Mm. I mean, how many pieces of artwork have you seen all throughout the centuries of this key moment? Again, it's a moment that Christians have recognized from the earliest times is so integral to salvation history. And then again, because one thing, last thing I may would share would be that I think Mary teaches us two very important lessons at the Annunciation, many things, and I've mentioned some of them. But the two most important things I think she teaches us at the Annunciation is, number one, always say yes to God. Hmm. Always say yes to God, that you will never be disappointed in saying yes to him. Does that mean it's going to be easy? Does that mean you're not going to suffer or have challenges? No. The Blessed Virgin Mary had tons of challenges and sufferings through her life. We think of her at the foot of the cross.
Yeah.
So always say yes to God. And number two, never be afraid to give everything to him. again, Mary shows us that to surrender your whole life, your whole heart to God, you have nothing to be afraid of. And so that's why we celebrate this day that Mary encourages us, always say yes to God and never be afraid to give everything to him.
It's March 25th, exactly nine
Monday,
months
yeah.
Before the solemnity of the Nativity, before Christmas. So, yeah, I encourage all our listeners to think about what they might do to celebrate, and particularly the Annunciation. Obviously, attendance at Mass, may not be an obligation, but it is certainly an invitation. And yeah,
it is for our Catholic school students at my school.
Good. All right. Well, I think it's our feast day.
We celebrate.
Well,
it's great.
It's your patronal feast. And actually, yeah, why don't our listeners come to Annunciation?
Yeah, our school mass will be at 8:15 that morning in South Minneapolis. Usually we do cupcakes that day for our students for our feast day.
Only for the students?
Well, Father has some ice cream or something too. But
okay, all right. Very good. Yeah. Well, before we let you go, Father, I'm just wondering if you would offer an on-air blessing for our listeners.
Absolutely happy to. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for this Lenten season, this time to turn our hearts back to you more deeply. Lord, I pray that you would send your Spirit upon all those listening today. Help them to be faithful in their Lenten promises. Prepare their hearts for the great celebration of Easter in a few weeks. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us all to be like the Blessed Virgin Mary, who always said yes to God and gave her whole life without fear to him. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father Brian Park, pastor of Annunciation, thank you so much for being on the Rediscover Hour.
Thanks, Patrick. Appreciate it.
All right. We're going to head into a break. When we come back, we've got Mary May and Mary Jo Fettel talking about the Christ Brings Hope Benefit Banquet. Stay with us.
Discover. Lead young people to understand that this relationship with Christ is first and foremost a commitment. He has made promises in Scripture to be with you always. The question is, are we going to reciprocate that commitment by showing up to prayer? Are we going to reciprocate that commitment by being faithful to the Eucharist? Are we going to reciprocate that commitment that God has made to us through regular reception of reconciliation when we fall, and trusting in God's love as a reality and not just an emotion? You know, most of them create their worldview based on what they feel. They need people involved in their lives who can mentor them and disciple them in that, because it is going to be probably the greatest challenge for them is to break out of the mold of the world, which says, if it feels right, do it. And they apply that same principle to the faith. And when it doesn't feel good, they don't do it. And that's just not what is going to help move them forward on a faith journey.
Relevant Radio, helping you guide your family with talk radio for Catholic life.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Susanna Parent, our producer. Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you from the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley, and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Joining me now in studio is our very own familiar face around here, Mary May, who is the Advancement Director of Relevant Radio Twin Cities, and also does quite a bit, if I may say, behind the scenes to help facilitate the show, the Rediscover Hour, as well. So, Mary, it's good to have you on the program.
Thank you, Patrick. It's very wonderful, and I'm honored to be here.
Good. Excellent. And we also have Mary Jo Fettel, who's a proud alumni of St. Agnes School, president of Fettel & Company, and a frequent pilgrim to holy sites, community volunteer, and co-chair of the Christ Brings Hope Banquet. Mary Jo, welcome.
Nice to be here.
Good. Excellent. All right, so we are talking about this Christ Brings Hope Banquet, which I've attended now a number of years, and just I love it more and more every year. But Mary, why don't you start out by telling us, what is the Christ Brings Hope Banquet?
Well, it's a wonderful celebration. We celebrate the hope that we have in Christ. It's a wonderful evening when the Relevant Radio family gathers together. Father Rocky will join us along with a number of our show hosts. We will have Patrick Madrid with us, Father Richard Simon from Father Simon Says, otherwise known as Father Know-It-All.
Yes,
Glenn
indeed.
Leverins of Morning Air and Glenn's Story Corner is coming. Paul Sadek, our host of Daybreak, and a few other guests. We also will have Michael O'Neill, who is the host of the Miracle Hunter Show.
Yeah, yeah.
And we can share a little bit more about that in a minute. We have an opportunity to support the mission of Relevant Radio. We always appreciate everyone's prayers, and this event in the evening gives our friends and supporters an opportunity to support us financially as well.
Wonderful. Mary Jo, are you a longtime Relevant Radio listener?
Yes. My first experience with getting real involved with Relevant Radio was years ago. I think it was 2011, I went on a trip to the Holy Land with Relevant Radio and Father Rocky. And, of course, my son's on the board, and so it's kind of like, Mom, can you help out? So got roped in that way. But and then I have a love of Catholic education and a devotion to trying to keep the schools as affordable as possible. Mm. And to me, this was a natural progression of Relevant Radio and the schools. And so got involved with, I know we did all of the Go Ask Your Fathers and with a lot of the schools around town. And so it just kind of progressed from there. And then after a while, it became pretty obvious that people wanted to meet all the Relevant Radio personalities. So working on the banquet was a lot of fun. And of course, I do this with my sister-in-law, Judy. She's co-chairs with me. And every year it's gotten better. And we're kind of proud of what we do. So we try to get as many co-hosts in town so that people can meet them and figure out ways we can get them together. And we've been pretty proud of what we've done. And we've got a great crew that works with us, too, here.
Right.
So
this doesn't just happen, does it?
No.
You don't just snap your fingers and have a benefit banquet, right?
So sometimes Judy and I get all the kudos for it, but it's not us. It's all the people that are involved here at the station. Chicago, we have people from, Green Bay come in.
Green Bay coming.
And come in and help us out. I've made good friends all over the country, so it's really kind of neat.
All right. And I think, in my own, if I may, one of the things that I really appreciate about it is seeing that connection that, we can all become very familiar with our local programming here, which is great. I'm, of course, not saying that we shouldn't. But to see that that's tied into a network that expands coast to coast. I mean, that's an amazing thing that you do get to see kind of in microcosm of, but you still get to see it there at the banquet. So, Mary, you mentioned all the guests that we're having and talking about people that are coming in, but the Miracle Hunter, this will be the first time he's joining us. So tell us a little bit about how did that come about?
Well, Michael O'Neill, who is the international expert on apparitions of Our Lady and also the church's process for canonizing saints that involves miracles. Mm-hmm. And he was here briefly last fall, gave a talk, and some of those who attended were so inspired. And we are blessed to have a special gift for those who are attending the banquet related to Michael's work. And we wanted him to be with us to talk about the ways that God works through miracles, through supernatural interventions at times to let us know God is real, he's alive, he loves us, he cares about us. So we're really going to be exploring these miracles of God's love in the course of our evening together.
Wow. I'm just stuck on this special gift. I'm all aglow. I won't push. But all right. So in addition to all the personalities, you get to see the faces behind the microphones, which, if I may say so, in some cases are better than others. Speaking about myself, anyway. But you get to see some of the personalities that you may become very accustomed to as you're driving around town, as you're driving to work and such. That you're hearing these voices. And you get to, again, really put a face with them. But there's also an honoree. Do we want to talk about this year's honoree, Mary Jo?
Oh, we definitely do.
Okay. Who are we honoring this year?
Well, Archbishop Hebda.
I've heard of him.
And we are so grateful to have him here in the community. I've always said that when I've gone to these banquets, you could actually look at any table and honor somebody at every table, because we've got a community that's unbelievable. But when he came to our community in a time of crisis, he is really a man of the people. He shows up everywhere all the time. And I used to think he was my best friend, but I've come to find out he's everybody's best friend in this town. And there's nothing you can ask him, can't ask him, that he won't be very honest with you. he's a real down-to-earth person, and we were bound to determine one way or another we were going to be our honoree. Mm-hmm. So we tried very hard. We kept on him until he finally said yes.
That's great. I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did. Mary, who have some of our past honorees been? Can you give us that information?
I am so glad you asked.
Okay.
Back in 2012, when we had our very first Christ Brings Hope banquet here in the Twin Cities, we honored Kathy Laird. She directed the Office of Marriage and Family Life for the Archdiocese. And since then, we've had Jeff Cavins, Matt Burke, who some of you may know of, NFL superstar. Also, Marianne Kaharski, who founded Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people. Mm-hmm. This last year, we honored Gordy DeMaray, the founder of St. Paul's Outreach. And, of course, we were so blessed to honor Mary Jo Copeland of Sharing and Caring Hands not too long ago.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. Excellent. And, yeah. If I may say so, pillars of the community. I mean, pillars of the community of faith, certainly here locally.
And there's a lot of them here in this community.
Yeah. Yeah. We are really blessed in this mm-hmm. archdiocese, as I've had the opportunity to travel around a lot more. There's a lot of great things happening here. So what we haven't even hit the specifics yet, have we? Maybe we should talk about when and where the banquet's going to be. I'm assuming one of you know that.
It is taking place on Friday, April 26th.
Oh, so it's after Easter.
That's right.
Excellent.
It's Easter week, actually.
Easter week. Yep.
Friday right after Easter. We'll begin at 6 p.m. with a social hour. We'll be at the JW Marriott at the Mall of America. It's a lovely venue, very elegant, and we're looking forward to welcoming 1,000 people. Wow. Really be celebrating, lots of energy in the room, and the tickets, there are still some tickets available. You'll want to call here at the studio if you'd like to register, or you can go online. The phone number to call is 612-643-4117. And that number is also on the website at relevantradio.com. Go to the events tab and you can select the state of Minnesota and you'll see a link there to register online with more information on the banquet, more details.
Wonderful. Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it. Yet another aspect, and Mary Jo, you started talking about this a little bit, that this is, there's a special designation of matching funds that go to local Catholic schools as well, too.
Yes, and I think this is one of the reasons that it's become so popular is because we ask that any school that buys a table, now I have to backtrack a little bit there, it's any person that buys a table for a school, we're asking the parishes not to spend their money, there is going to be matching funds. If they buy a table, they get advertising and they will get matching funds for anybody designates that school. Some schools have gotten as little as maybe $200, but yet other schools have gotten like $43,000. And so that's why we ask that the school don't put their money out, that it's a parishioner that will do it for the school, and then we match funds to that. And I think that's why it's become so popular. And the money has to go for tuition assistance. It can't go for iPads or any of this kind
Excellent.
Of stuff. It only can go for tuition assistance.
Oh, that's so good. That's so important, too. Yeah, fundamentally important.
We will have about 30 to 40 schools represented. There are a few more tables left. So if you are interested in having your school represented this year at the banquet, give us a call this coming week or send us an email through the website, and we'll see what we can do. We'll do our very best to fit in a few more schools so that they can benefit from the matching fund opportunity.
Now, I'm sure you've just tweaked some ears out there, Mary, so you better give us that phone number and email again.
The phone number is 612-643-4117, and the email would be mmay@relevantradio.com.
Very good. So as you continue to, maybe just if I may, look at the ministry of the Relevant Radio in here in the Twin Cities, what is your understanding of the impact that people are receiving here of locally here, what the programming that we have on, not, I'm not talking just local shows, but I mean just with the within the local community, what is Relevant Radio's role, Mary?
Well, the role is to help enrich our community in living and our faith and being engaged as Catholics and sharing the good news of our Lord with all those that we meet. We truly are helping also not just our Catholic brothers and sisters, but those of all creeds and ways of life. We have so many listeners that are tuning in. Many of them, again, are Catholic fellow parishioners, but others are just seeking to know more about God. And our radio station gives them something that no other media gives them here in the Twin Cities. So we know we're filling the pews at our churches on Sunday. Just talked to someone yesterday who told me she is Catholic because of Relevant Radio. She never dreamed she'd become a Catholic person, and we're just graced by many stories like that. Day after day, we have testimonies coming in, and so we know we have happier families, stronger marriages, and souls that are encouraged throughout the community.
Yeah. Again, I've said it before, but I'll say it again. As in my time as an RCI director, I would ask people, why Catholic? Why are you considering joining the church? And I was amazed at how many times at least part of their testimony was, well, I started listening to Relevant Radio. Yeah, so it's a great thing to plug into. Mary Jo, just as well, do you what is your sense of the impact of Relevant Radio here locally?
Well, recently I had an occasion where I was at an event and a gal came up to me, or was actually at my table, and she said, I'm not Catholic, but is it okay if I say the rosary? And I said, well, naturally it's okay. And I said, well, what I ended up doing was giving her the Relevant Radio pouch with the rosary in it.
Wonderful.
Bringing the booklet over to her to how to say the rosary, and inviting her to the Relevant Radio banquet, and I put the app on her phone.
Wow.
So I haven't talked to her recently, but I know I've told her to reserve the date, and she's going to be at our Relevant Radio
banquet.
She's
a marked woman. Yeah. Yes, very
right.
Good. Well, that's good. And yes, well, I'm grateful for the ministry of Relevant Radio. Obviously, I'm grateful for everything that both of you are doing for the Christ Brings Hope Banquet. Thank you for your work and support of that. Any particular ways that we can pray in these last few, well, about a month now before the banquet comes about?
We always have a novena, so thanks for asking. 10 days prior to the banquet, we ask for prayers for all those who are going to attend the banquet, that they be encouraged and uplifted in their faith. For all the speakers, those who run the AV equipment, we
right.
always pray that everything goes smoothly.
Yep.
And for, of course, those who are traveling from out of town, we ask that God would truly grant us his presence so that we would all know how much he loves us, is part of, wants to be part of our lives.
Mm.
So all those listening, pray for us. Thank you for all that you do for Relevant Radio. We know that because you're listening, you're a part of our family.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Amen to that. Well, Mary Jo Felton, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour and for talking about this very important banquet. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick.
All right. We're going to head into our final break. When we come back, we've got all sorts of things that we can talk about in terms of ways that you can grow deeper in love with the Lord and continue to live out your Lenten disciplines. So stay with us.
Everyone has a special place for their safe money, like the local bank or maybe even the proverbial cookie jar, a place that's secure from losing value. At Catholic United Financial, we know a thing or two about keeping your savings safe and secure. We also know as you get closer to retirement, the last thing you want to do is lose money. If that's you and you're worried about falling markets, then consider protecting your hard-earned money with a guaranteed return no matter what the markets do. Our Bonus Plus annuity has a 3% return the first year and a guaranteed minimum return in the future with no annual sales or maintenance fees. Your money grows free of market risk and fee-free. So place your safe money with a company that honors your faith. Start an account or roll over an IRA. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe-money. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe-money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Walk in the room, you look out a window, and something's there, something's there. Hope has a way of turning its face to you, just when you least expect it. You walk in the room.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Paul Sadek is going to be at the Christ Brings Hope Banquet.
You betcha. I wouldn't miss it.
Did I hear tell that you might be bringing some family members this year too, Paul?
Oh, well, I did last year too.
All right.
My daughter and her husband are becoming regulars there.
Oh, it's always a good thing. Very good. What else do we have going on here?
Well, you're invited, among other things, to a four-week Lenten Prayer of the Heart Workshop. Tuesdays, March 19th through April 9th at Mary Mother of the Church in Burnsville. Each evening runs from 7 to 8:30 p.m. The workshop will help you quiet your soul and enter more deeply into prayer. Cost is $40 per person. That includes lectures, materials, large group Q&A, and snacks. Find registration and details on the event page at archspm.org. For questions, call Susanna Parent, 651-291-4411, or parents@archspm.org.
Hey, that 2019 Lenten Lecture Series at the Church of St. Agnes is still going on, and you can still attend. The theme is Great Spiritual Doctors of the Church. It's every Friday through April 12th and run in Schuller Hall following the 7 p.m. Stations of the Cross in the Upper Church. This event is free. It's open to the public. Light refreshments are served, and a free will offering is also accepted. For more information, give them a call at 651-925-8800.
Grandparents are invited to St. John the Baptist in New Brighton on Tuesday, April 2nd from 6:30 to 8 p.m. for a talk on passing on the faith, what grandparents are doing right, and where do we go from here? Speakers include Andrew Blake, Director of Campus Ministry and Dean of Students at Totino Grace High School, and Kim Doyle, Grandparent Ministry Coordinator at the Church of St. Joseph Rosemont. The event is free and registration recommended but not required. With questions, contact Rita Spice at rspiess1@msn.com or call Carrie 763-438-0487.
Discerning and using your charisms can change your own life, your family, your parish, and the world. Explore the ancient teaching of the Church on how the gifts or charisms of the Holy Spirit work in your life and in the life of your parish. The Church of St. Pius X in White Bear Lake invites you to join them for a one-day called and gifted workshop on Saturday, April 6th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Registration is required. Visit the events page at archspm.org.
Grandparents, you are invited to the Nativity Grandparents Apostolate of Saints Joachim and Anne, Monday, April 29th, 8:45 to 10:30 a.m. in Steiner Hall. That's at Nativity Catholic Church in St. Paul. Daily Mass will be offered in the church at 8:15 a.m. with a presentation to follow by Father James Peterson, pastor of Immaculate Conception in Columbia Heights. He'll speak on divine mercy in the life of a present-day grandparent. Refreshments will be served, and the church and Steiner Hall are both wheelchair accessible. For more information, visit parish.nativity-mn.org or email info@nativity-mn.org.
And here's the information on the Christ Brings Hope Relevant Radio 1330 AM Benefit Banquet. Again, the date is Friday, April 26th. The honoree is the Most Reverend Bernard A. Hebda, our Archbishop here in St. Paul in Minneapolis. 6 p.m. reception, 7 p.m. dinner at the J.W. Marriott Mall of America in Bloomington. If you're interested in getting a seat, contact Mary May, 612-643-4117 or mmay, at relevantradio.com.
It's always a love fest.
It is. It's very good. I'd like to encourage all the listeners to really consider coming out. It's a great time together with the Catholic faithful here, and Relevant Radio is one of those threads that really weaves us all together. On the next Rediscover Hour, we'll have special guest Archbishop Bernard Hebda. Yep, he'll be here. And student Grace Healy, as they talk together about the Letters to the Archbishop book. We'll also be joined by a Missionary Discipleship Series participant who will share about called and gifted. So two things we've already heard about, but in the meantime, folks, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturdays at noon, and Sunday afternoons at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.